All right, guys, you are Locked On Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, and today I am joined by none other than the Locked On Hawks podcast host, Brad Rolden. We're going to be talking about this 2018 NBA Finals matchup as well as the Hawks plan in the 2018 NBA draft.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
All right, guys. I'm back. Aaron Freeman, founder of FalcFans.com, one of the longest-running Falcon websites on the internet, on Twitter at FalcFans, and, of course, the host of this Locked On Falcons podcast. And I am joined for a crossover episode with the Locked On Podcast Network Brotherhood is getting together. I have none other than Brad Rolden from Locked On Hawks. You can also find his stuff at Peachtree Hoops, the SB Nation site for the Atlanta Hawks. And you can find him on Twitter at BT Rolland. Welcome back to the show, Brad.
It's my pleasure, sir. Thanks for having me back. Always good to talk. You know, Hawks, Falcons, NBA, whatever's going on. Nice to talk to you, man.
Yes. Well, one of the tricks I pull on this side of things is during the summertime when nothing is happening with football, I bring you on to fill in some hashtag content on this side of things by talking about the NBA. So that's just one less third string roster battle that I have to talk about on this podcast. So I appreciate you, Brad, for hooking me up with that.
I know the same life, man. Trust me. we all have to fill our time in the off season. It's a little bit easier, honestly, in the NBA these days because there's just so much going on until like, but you know, still there's like that whole month of August when you're ramping up for the NFL season is like the absolute deadest period of my life. So I've been where you are, my friend.
All right. So let's, before we get to the Hawks, let's talk about the NBA Finals, which is now among us. We just watched two glorious Game 7s in the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference. I know one of the knocks on the finals, the conference finals this year, were some of the early games in particular were a little bit dull. Brad, do you feel like things picked up a little bit at the end and brought the drama that every NBA fan and even the casual fans like myself were wishing for?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was definitely justified early on in the playoffs and especially early on in the conference finals to have people talking about how bad the games were because, you know, for the most part, it was pretty lopsided on both sides of the equation in the West and the East. But, you know, the last three, four games on both sides really sort of brought it. You know, Golden State obviously outlasting Houston in pretty memorable fashion in that series, and then of course LeBron doing LeBron things in the East. So yeah, I think you know, the TV rings actually sort of spiked through the roof, and it was one of those things where people started to get back on board. And all it takes is close competitive games because you know when the blowouts are 30 points, you know, 30 point margins to end games, then it's pretty easy to tune out. But if games are close in the fourth quarter, people are going to watch when it's at the highest level of the sport, and that's kind of what happened.
Yes, I am exactly that person that basically checks the score at halftime, checks the score midway through the third quarter, and if it's close, I'll be like, okay, I think it's time for me to actually sit down and watch this. And if it's not close, I'm going to find something else to do. And I think the last couple of games really sort of paid off a little bit. I remember checking out the Rockets-Warriors game last night as we're recording this and sort of seeing, ooh, the Rockets are up pretty big. That's interesting. And then I was messing on my phone. Next thing I know, the Warriors had tied it up. And I was like, oh, okay, this is going to be good. And I need to start paying attention to this. So, like, talking about the NBA Finals, now the matchup for those of you guys that have been living under a rock, it's the Warriors for the Cavs for the fourth consecutive year. I know there's been a lot of talk about sort of how boring this matchup is because we've seen it, been there, done that. I know there's still a lot of angst over the whole notion of sort of the predictability and the super teams and, you know, people want surprises. I'm curious sort of how you feel about that, Brad.
Yeah, I mean, I understand it on both sides, frankly. You know, if you're someone who covers the league like I do, it can be a little bit challenging to see the same series 4 years in a row. Even if I would acknowledge that it's probably the most intriguing from a storyline perspective. You have the best team in the league and the Warriors on one side. They've been the best team basically the entire 4 years. And then you have LeBron on the other side. And, you know, frankly, the Eastern Conference, there are teams that are up and coming, but nobody's really on that level just yet. You know, you have Philly and Boston and a couple of other teams that are very, very interesting in the future. But for right now, you know, I think if you're an NBA fan, you want to see LeBron in the finals just because LeBron is the biggest name and the biggest, you know, person in the sport overall. And to see him against the best team is kind of perfect. But in the same breath, 4 years in a row of the same series is kind of brutal in a lot of ways. And I made the observation on Twitter last night after the game on Monday, basically when the finals were set, that, you know, ABC executives, they're going to be televising this, or they have to be thrilled. And people are like, why would they be thrilled? It's the same series. And I'm like, I guarantee you, Warriors against LeBron is the biggest TV draw they could possibly have. But a lot of it's just people being upset about one or the other. Either you have the anti-LeBron people or the anti-Warriors people or both. And that's not exactly probably the best place to be. So I don't know. I can see kind of on all sides. I think, you know, it's definitely weird. It's the first time in the history of American sports, I think I saw that the same team, two teams were playing 4 years in a row for the title. And we're sort of in new ground. So I get all of this. I get all of it. I'm okay with it. I think it should be fun, frankly. But I definitely understand people aren't excited about it.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. I think this is sort of, I think we probably talked about this on the last time I had you on back in July. With the whole notion of super teams, and it's been the norm in the NBA for decades. It just seems like a new thing now because various reasons. But like for me, I guess I'm looking at the alternative between Warriors, Cavs, and say Rockets, Celtics. Like, while that would have been new and interesting, I don't think that would have been offering us perhaps the best basketball, particularly with the Rockets being, you know, having Chris Paul. Limited and certainly not seeing the very best version of that Celtics team given some of the injuries that they've had. So I do feel like of the options that we had this year, even though relative to some previous years, it may seem the same, I do think this is the best matchup. From speaking as a casual NBA fan, I could certainly attest to that. You know, maybe some of the hardcore people may disagree with that. But yeah, I think this is definitely the one that I would be more intrigued with, you know, to see sort of what changes this year, if anything changes this year. I'm assuming that you think the Warriors are the heavy favorites.
Yeah. I mean, they're massive Vegas favorites for a reason. They're better than the Cavs. Yeah. But you know, LeBron is in the series, and because LeBron's in the series, you can't just say it's over. I've seen a lot of that. And, you know, I do think if the Warriors play a B-plus series, they're going to win fairly easily. But if they struggle and LeBron is superhuman, we saw it 2 years ago. I mean, everybody thought that, you know, that was actually, this is hilariously, this team this year, the Warriors, are bigger favorites in terms of Las Vegas and sort of the odds and that kind of stuff ahead of the series than they were 2 years ago when they won 73 games. So that kind of tells you everything you need to know on both sides. I think Cleveland, this year's Cleveland team is weaker as well. So yeah, I mean, it'd be a pretty big surprise to everybody that covers this pretty closely if the Cavs actually won the series. But you're looking just for, you know, have LeBron be sort of a mutant two or three times in the series, make it very, very interesting, and then probably have the Warriors run at the end. But yeah, I mean, never rule it out. But I think everybody would be sort of surprised if that wasn't Warriors win.
Yeah, I'm sort of expecting the Warriors to win, and I'm sort of intrigued sort of how the series plays out, just because I'm sort of anticipating LeBron leaving Cleveland this offseason and just seeing how that whole dynamic plays out, sort of how, you know, whether he leaves people with a bitter taste in about it, it's a whole thing. But I that's where sort of my expectations are. But it doesn't seem like necessarily the Warriors may be playing the best basketball. So I do feel like, at least coming off of the heels of that 7-game series with the Rockets, I do feel like, even though my brain tells me that, yeah, the Warriors should roll in this one, it doesn't, they do seem a little bit more vulnerable, I guess, to me this year than they have in previous years.
Yeah, it's totally fair. I think, you know, if you watch the first half of game 6 and the first half of game 7, you would certainly have that thought. Like, they've not had their A-plus game for a full game in a long time here. You know, they're obviously sort of head and shoulders above everybody else when they're playing their best basketball, as we've seen in the third quarter in both Game 6 and Game 7, when they kind of just ran away, and made up a huge comeback against Houston. So if they play like that for full games, or at least closer to full games, they're going to win really easily. But as you mentioned, they're not playing all that well right now. And Andre Iguodala is a big thing as well. I mean, they have these four stars So everybody wants to just say they have four stars. So why does it matter about Iguodala, their fifth best player? But they don't have much depth right now, sneakily, without going too deep into it. Iguodala is very, very important for them. And you saw how important he was in the last three or four games of that series when he wasn't playing. I think they would have beat Houston in five games if Iguodala had been playing. And, you know, as a result of that, you know, if he's not healthy, it gets a little bit more interesting because, you know, I think everybody probably remembers the last time when, you know, the last couple of times, but Iguodala's been the primary defender on LeBron. So if you take him off that roster, obviously the Warriors are still going to be favored and everybody thinks that they're going to win still, but it isn't quite as lopsided. So, yeah, there's probably a little bit more uncertainty because of the fact that the Warriors aren't just playing lights out right now.
Yeah, I think even though the Warriors seem a little bit more vulnerable now, I certainly don't think this is anywhere close to the best team that the Cavs have put together in these recent LeBron years to really sort of take advantage of that maybe potential vulnerability. So it'll be interesting to sort of see how that all plays out.
Yeah, definitely not. I mean, this is the weakest team LeBron has had, I think probably ever, frankly, that he's actually been in the finals with. I think the 2007 team when he was really young back in Cleveland the first time is probably the other example of that. But that team really played defense. This team kind of doesn't. It's been, you know, LeBron's had to basically do everything, like even in more of a way than he always does. He's obviously the center of everything all the time. But for this team, he's kind of had to be the sun, moon and stars all the time. And he's capable of doing that more than anybody's basically ever been almost since MJ at least. But yeah, it's really tough to like get really excited about this Cleveland team otherwise, which is it's kind of plays into why people think it's going to be lopsided because Cleveland has really kind of struggled on their way here in a way they haven't in the recent past.
Yeah, imagine living in a world where you're a Cavs fan and you're wishing for Big Z to return to help out your NBA Finals team. Brett, we got more to talk about, particularly with the Hawks, but first I want to plug your podcast, the Locked On Hawks podcast, part of the NBA side of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Yeah.
What things do you have coming up on the Hawks podcast before we start talking about their draft?
As you're kind of alluding to there, it's a lot of draft stuff right now because the Hawks are in the middle of this rebuild. You know, they obviously weren't playing in the playoffs this year, so we got started early on the draft and postseason stuff and free agency stuff. You know, of course, the NFL, as you well know, is a year-round sport in the NBA. Almost more than the season itself now is like this NBA draft, free agency, summer league madness in June and July is like almost what you want to circle on your calendar as someone who covers the NBA. And the Hawks obviously don't have a whole lot going on free agency wise this time around because they're in the middle of this rebuild. But the draft, they have four picks in the top 34. So very, very interesting time for me, spending a ton of time breaking down prospects and doing all that fun stuff. So that's basically the impetus of the podcast right now. Not as busy as I'd like to be. I'm sure you know the feeling in the summer, but it's time to ramp it up pretty soon here. And the draft is going to be huge for the Hawks.
So I do want to talk about the Hawks, but I am sort of curious. Are you trying to focus on all of these picks? You know, they have three in the first round. You mentioned a fourth at the top of the second round. Are you trying to equally balance it, or is it really hyper-focused because we sort of know that this draft will probably be made or broken by who the Hawks take with this third overall pick?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we're going to spend more time. I'm trying not to spend too much time on the number three pick. And part of that is because we're so far away now that there's only three or four legitimate candidates for that pick. So with about a month to go between now and the actual draft, I don't want to go too deep too early on those guys. But obviously between now and then, it's going to be a lot of number three draft talk. But listen, I mean, the Hawks have three other picks, and they're all pretty useful picks. It's not like they're picking dead last in the mm-hmm. draft. Like actually last year they had the number 60 overall, the final pick in the draft. That's basically a throwaway pick. It'd be a huge surprise if they got anybody there that actually mattered. But this year, you know, four of the top 35, you want to be able to hit on two or three of those guys legitimately. So, and because this is sort of a deep draft, yeah, it's actually, I'm trying to spend as much time as I possibly can on those latter picks because this is a team that just has to take big swings and you're going to have the opportunity to hopefully find a diamond in the rough or something either at 19, 30 or 34. So yeah, number three is the focus obviously, but plenty of value to be had in those other picks.
So I'm curious because I decided not to watch. I tried to minimize as much Hawks basketball as I could watch this year. I didn't want, you know, my eyes to get cancer. I didn't even know well done. I'm curious, sort of, are the Hawks, and I think this is something that we talked about last summer, but are the Hawks sort of in at least their overall draft strategy? Do you feel like it's going to be one where they're just going to try to get the four best players with these picks and get the most assets in a sort of quote unquote process oriented rebuild, or is this going to be more of a surgical, we want to get this, we want to get that, and really sort of get back into the mix where they can maybe be competitive sooner rather than later?
I think this first, you know, post, I mean, I guess last year was the first draft of the rebuild, but it wasn't, 100% clear they were going to actually just tear this whole thing down last year when the draft happened. This year, obviously, it's already been torn down. They're in the middle of this rebuild. I do think that drafting the best player available is pretty much the mandate right now. I don't think that they're going to be doing a whole lot of wheeling and dealing. And if they do, it will probably be, you know, focused on the draft. Maybe they want to get rid of Dennis Schroeder, do something like that creatively. But I don't think it's going to be to go try to make the playoffs this year. I think probably the worst thing that they could do right now is try to speed things up too much. I think the GM, Travis Schlenk, kind of understands that. I think, you know, maybe a year from now, Hawks fans might be a little bit, you know, squeamish and wanting to at least be more respectable. But I think you got to give them at least 2 full years of the sort of, you know, I don't want to use the word tanking, but it's basically tanking, you know, rebuilding and doing all that fun stuff. I think, you know, having 4 picks in this draft, you just take the 4 best players that you can get. Obviously, fit matters a little bit. You don't want to take 4 big men in the same draft. You don't want to take 4 point guards, all that fun stuff. But aside from like specialty stuff like that, I do think you just want to take the best 4 players. And if you know, trading is interesting as well. You could trade up. I think what's one of Hawks fans' favorite things to talk about is trading up. I'm sure you have that reality in the NFL draft as well. People are trying to ask you things that are possible or likely, and people want to just go up and grab the guy that they actually recognize. But aside from all of that, I do think, most likely they're going to stay put and probably draft 3 or 4 players and, take as many swings as they can and hopefully get at least, you know, 1 sort of big time swing at number 3 and hopefully find some value elsewhere.
So talking about that number 3 pick, you mentioned earlier that there's basically 3 or 4 guys. I'm assuming that, you know, the if we could say there's the big 3 or the big 4 in this draft, it sounds like, and again, I'm not necessarily as well-versed in this as I probably should be, but it sounds like it's in some order, DeAndre Ayton, Marvin Bagley, Luka Doncic, and Jaren Jackson. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty consensus top 4. You can find somebody that will tell you Trae Young's up there. You can find somebody that will tell you Michael Porter Jr. could be up there if he's healthy. But yeah, I think the consensus wise, and that's kind of how I think as well, but that's kind of your pretty clear top 4. And because the Hawks pick at 3, they're going to have their choice of at least 2 of those guys. So that actually makes it interesting to cover and also sort of difficult to cover because you don't know who's going to be there, but you kind of have to cover at least all 4 of those guys plus maybe 1 or 2 others.
Okay. And so do you feel like looking at where the Hawks are sitting is with those 4 guys, is it sort of a, you know, there's no such thing as a can't miss when it comes to the NBA draft, as many a team that have been picking this high in the draft can certainly attest to. But do you feel, at least from your opinion, looking at some of these 3 or 4 guys, do you feel like there's some separation between some of them, or is it sort of like all 3 or 4 of these guys have the potential to be top-level NBA players and potentially maybe like that franchise sort of guy that's the a cornerstone piece for this Hawks team for many, many years to come?
Yeah, they all have that ceiling, I will say. I don't think that there is a Anthony Davis, Carl Anthony Towns, LeBron kind of, you know, dominant number one in this class. There are guys who could certainly turn into that kind of player, but nobody that's safe, if you ask me. I think Ayton might go number one, and of all these 4 guys, he'd be the guy I'd be most surprised if he fell to 3 in Atlanta, just because everybody seems to be of the mindset that he could be either number 1 or number 2 overall with pretty much easy in that way with Phoenix and Sacramento. So I won't do too much on him just because of the fact that I think he'll be gone, honestly, when the Hawks pick. The other 3 guys, my personal favorite is Doncic. Just kind of with where the NBA is now, I think wings are very, very important. And, he's very, very safe, which doesn't inspire the fan base. I think people, when I say that, people get really upset with me. It's like, what do you mean? He's not going to be a superstar. And it's like, well, number one, he could be a superstar, but number 2, you don't want to have this pick bust. There's some real value in safety. It's not sexy and people don't really enjoy that, but at the same time, you just kind of need to hit this pick. And I think he's a very, very safe, like his floor is kind of a very good NBA player, which is a nice thing to have. Obviously he won't be LeBron, but I think he can be an all-star, maybe an all-NBA player if he hits a ceiling, and safety-wise, he's just right there. And then the other two guys, Bagley and Jackson, they're sort of a back and forth. Hawks fans are really kind of split down the middle. Bagley is the guy who had the huge numbers in college and played at Duke and is much more famous. He's a great athlete, but you know, has some concerns with the modern NBA. Doesn't play a lot of defense necessarily. That's sort of to be kind at this point in time, and has some weaknesses. And then Jackson is more of that super high ceiling, like he could be a utterly dominant defensive player, could actually shoot threes as well, but definitely more of a projectable kind of guy, like a modern big man, but didn't play a ton at Michigan State, didn't have these massive numbers either. So he's more of like that blogger's dream kind of guy that's like has all the measurables, does everything you want him to do. His advanced numbers are great, but doesn't have that 20 points, 10 rebounds kind of stuff. So I don't know. There's strengths and weaknesses in this draft, which makes it a lot of fun to talk about. Also makes it really hard to talk about because nothing's just separating these guys in a defined way. It's kind of personal preference, which can get you into some trouble. Can also be fun.
Okay. Well, I think that's a pretty good lowdown, certainly a good primer for me. As we get closer to the NBA draft, I'll be a little bit more invested in this year than I have probably been in past years, simply because a lot of the people that listen to me and follow me and do all that stuff are also Hawks fans, and certainly they'll be talking about it. And I, you know, I like to be the cool kid at the party as well and involved with the sort of popular talk of what's going on. And then certainly the Hawks pick is going to be one of those. And maybe, just maybe, if they happen to hit on this pick, they might at least not be the worst team in the East next year, and maybe get me to watch more than one or two games this year.
Yeah, if nothing else, I think they're going to have a very intriguing young piece to follow. I think that only takes you so far in terms of fan interest, because if the team's as bad as they were last year, I have a hard time blaming people for not wanting to watch them in February and March when they were 40 games out. But, you know, if they have Marvin Bagley, if they have Jaren Jackson, Luka Doncic, that gives you, like, the casual Hawks fan something to watch, at least in the early going, and that hopefully will, also lead to some more wins and some more competitiveness and some more entertainment. So, yeah, that's sort of the goal. And, obviously, I think you understand the rebuild process and all that fun stuff. But just hold on. I mean, I would encourage fans to just hold on tight and, give the team as much latitude as you possibly can. And then 2 years from now, if it doesn't work, then – curse them in the streets. But until then, there is a plan in place, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think it's a lot easier sell now that the Sixers seem to have come out of it.
Yeah, that helps a lot, I will say.
maybe not as quickly as some people probably wanted them to or they probably planned on, but they seem to have come out of it pretty well. So it does seem like the quote-unquote process, or whatever you want to call it, of that sort of rebuild strategy seems to – there is a strong example of that working – particularly in the Eastern Conference. So that is something to potentially aspire to if you're a Hawks fan.
Yeah, absolutely. I do think that argument the argument's made easier now. There'll always be the people that don't like the rebuild, and they will use all the examples of people that have not had it work. But the most recent example and the most extreme example of Philly succeeding does aid in the argument. If you like the rebuild call, like I did, I was rooting for the rebuild to happen. So I was all about that, and it does give me some ammunition, which is nice.
All right. Well, Brad, let the people know where they can find you on Twitter, as well as any other upcoming stuff that you have coming up.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at BT Roland. Of course, as I mentioned before, we'll be talking about the Hawks, basically every day or every other day or so on the Locked On Hawks podcast. I'm also the editor-in-chief over at PeachtreeHoops.com, doing all of your Atlanta Hawks content. And if you want to follow me in terms of non-Hawk stuff, I do cover the rest of the NBA over at Dime Mag. So check me out there as well at dimemag.com. And that's pretty much it, I think.
Okay, guys. Yeah, definitely tune into the Locked On Hawks on Locked On Podcast Network, as well as any other NBA shows, if you want to try to figure out how this mock draft is going to go. Because if you're as invested in NBA mock drafts as people seem to be invested in NFL mock drafts, it certainly is going to be a fun, a month out, 3 weeks, 4 weeks?
3 weeks from Thursday. So yeah, we're getting close.
Yeah. So, So guys, definitely check that out if you want, and, appreciate Brad, you coming on and talking with me about some NBA stuff.
Thanks, Aaron, man. I always appreciate you, having me on, and we'll have to talk some Falcons in the future. I'm excited about the Falcons.
I'll give you a call back in August when you're not doing anything.
We'll do that. That's perfect, because August is my dead time, so we'll set that up for sure.
All right, yeah. The Falcons will be in the full swing of training camp. They'll have just gotten blown out by the Dolphins in a preseason game, and you know we'll get into some hot takes. So
that sounds perfect. I'm looking forward to it, my friend.
All right, man. Appreciate it, and you have a good night.
You as well.
All right, guys. That's it. Hope you appreciate that. You know, a little bit of the NBA crossover. We do this at least once this summer. We might do it again later this summer, as I hinted before with Brad, during training camp to sort of catch up on the NBA offseason. You know, I don't foresee it happening prior to that, just because it's probably not a whole lot that's certainly going to be, I guess, a lightning rod on this podcast. You know, maybe we'll find out where LeBron goes. That might be an interesting conversation to have with somebody come July or whatever, whenever that happens. But in the meantime, we will have some future crossover pods with the NFL side of things. I do want to talk to some folks from the NFC South as well as the AFC North to sort of get their thoughts on their team's off seasons and get ahead of that. In the meantime, on this podcast, you should have a Russell Gage scouting report tomorrow. I tried to record that earlier, the post on Tuesday, but unfortunately, someone decided they wanted to ride their dirt bike up and down the street as I was recording that podcast. So I just basically threw out the audio and I decided I'll just re-record it later. And for Friday, there should be a Q&A. So if you guys have questions, I will probably record that Thursday evening afternoon. So get your questions in today or early tomorrow if you want to have them answered on that Friday Q&A episode. Where do you send your questions? Well, of course, you should do so on Twitter. I'm at FalkFans. If it's podcast related, just let me know in that tweet. If it is podcast related and you do want to send those Q&A questions, just go ahead and send it over to Locked On Falcons. That's the show's Twitter handle. Of course, you can do so as well on Facebook. Locked On Falcons is the Facebook page. LockedOnFalcons@mail.com is the email address. And of course, you can leave a comment at LockedOnFalcons.com or FalkFans.com, where the show is posted daily. And we'll do some more fan talks as well in the coming weeks. We got probably at least one on deck for next week if I need to recheck my calendar. And we still will have that Foye Olakun scouting report for me as well next week. And I do still want to get you guys outside assessments of some of the Falcons draft picks. I'm not as optimistic that I'll be able to get all six before training camp begins. But again, that's something that I'll try to get at least. Technically, I guess we already got one with Calvin Ridley with Matt Harmon. Go check out that episode. But so I guess I'll shoot for five. But yeah, I feel pretty confident I should be able to get like two or three of them. So, you know, as we get closer, further, deeper into the summer, I will promise these shows less and less, as I often do. So until then, guys.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.